This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Megan Schweitzer is a USDA economist, takes a look at the food price forecast.
Food at home, or grocery prices, are predicted to increase by 1.2% in 2024. Food away from home, or restaurant prices, are predicted to increase by 4.2% in 2024. And prices for all food, so both grocery and restaurant, are predicted to increase by 2.2% in 2024. Our best estimate of food at home price change in 2024 is 1.2%. But we still think that anything ranging from a negative 1.1 up to 3.7 is within the realm of possibility.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have contact information for Bob in just a moment. First off, Bob, mixed day in row crops to start the week, even with some commodities, i.e. wheat. So what are we trading right now?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed day in commodities and also the financial futures today. It just seems like one of those days where many of the markets are just kind of taking a pause. Away from the ag markets, the indices, for example, were pretty quiet. I mean, seldom where you see the S&P futures in roughly about a $35 range. And looking at the 5-minute chart, it's been strongly sideways for the bulk of the day. If you look at gold, down just a couple bucks or so, that one's been a high flyer, tends to have bigger ranges, and not so much today. And I guess evidence of the same story would be silver up around a nickel. So relatively quiet in many of the markets, and I think the ags are no exception on the day. What's driving them lately? I think the primary driver is going to be the weather, and seeing how things are evolving in terms of giving the crop a good stand for the spring crops that are in the process of being planted right now. I think the planting progress expected for this afternoon's update, it's got fairly wide ranges. So for corn, the expectations in terms of getting the crop in the ground is roughly about 25 to 32%. Last week it was 12%. And then for soybeans, somewhere in the range of about maybe 18 to 23% planted versus 8% last week. And then in terms of just crop conditions indices, looking at the winter wheat and how it's looking, the expectations there are for it to decline about 1 to 3% in the good to excellent category. So we'll see how well the producers out there are moving things along in terms of getting the crop in the ground. And then we'll see how things are looking in terms of the wheat as we go week by week down the road. And I think one of the big drivers last week, generally speaking, was that, especially looking at the wheat, it had a pretty good pop to the upside. It was definitely the outlier. Soybeans and corn have had modest rallies, but nothing like what we saw last week in wheat. And I think really that's indicative of primarily the weather. And the fact that it's still certainly dry in certain areas out there, which isn't necessarily beneficial at this point for the winter wheat crop. So we'll see how that plays out. That's definitely one of the things that's working its way into that market, or has worked its way into that market. And we'll see if it's sustainable. Away from the U.S. plains moisture shortages, though, we've also got southern Russia and eastern Ukraine dryness. So we'll see if that gets any kind of alleviation. But for right now, the market's pricing in at least a reduction in yield based on this particular point that we're in here in the calendar. So really, again, kind of watching weather really close there. Now, one thing that does offset this a little bit, we'll see how it plays out, maybe had a little bit of a factor of the market, at least in the wheat, falling back a bit today, was that there are some potential rains due in southwest Russia later this week. So we'll see if this pullback that looks like it started today has any teeth to it. And that's in the wheat category. If you kind of look at some of the fundamentals that traders are paying attention to in soy and corn, Obviously, when we're talking about soybeans and corn, we got to be looking down at South America. And I think that one of the reasons for a bit of a move to the upside today, against the backdrop of weakness in wheat and corn, with the soybeans higher, was that the strike was due to start today by the Argentinian Oilseed Workers Union. I think it's set to last about 72 hours or so. So I think that probably is something that the market discounted and helped push it up a little bit here. In terms of the weather, we're looking at some precipitation that's kind of hampering planting progress. So we'll see how that plays out. And then in terms of just kind of zooming back to Brazil, right now, Cargill's Brazil's president came out over the weekend and said that soybean crops should not be too much less than last season. And at this point, the Brazilian bean crop in 2022 and 23 that he's referring to was 162 million metric tons. The USDA's current estimate is 155. And we'll see if his expectations come out to being closer to reality, because with us at 155, projected estimate in terms of soybean production down in Brazil, and his being at 162, or believing that the crop's going to come in at 162, the market's going to have to reconcile that. So if it comes closer to him, you would think the price would come off a little bit. So we'll see how that plays out. And then in terms of corn, and I think we're kind of in the season right now, right? The time of year where weather, like I mentioned, is probably the most important. And we start to see some kind of weather premium being put into the marketplace normally around this time of the year. So we'll see if that starts to really catch into corn and soybeans, kind of like it did with wheat. Export sales also for corn have been pretty darn good, so no issues there. The good thing for us is that we still have a freight advantage out of the Pacific Northwest coast, so that keeps us competitive, and that should allow us to hopefully continue to do some business and provide some level of support underneath the market there for corn. When you're looking at the Brazilian situation, also a weather phenomena down there with this Safrinha crop being a little bit on the drier side, and rain chances are limited over the next 10 days. So again, it's more about weather forecasts, and how well the market can kind of absorb all that information and kind of give the price a bump or a bit of a break based on how things are expected in terms of that. So we will continue to watch those weather forecasts and watch for any kind of new business, keep an eye on the export sales, and play it accordingly.
Now, we watched a sell-off in livestock. On the cattle side, have we hit the highs yet?
In the livestock sector, it's kind of interesting. The cattle, in specific, have been a bit of a bounce for the last few weeks, but nothing outstanding. The basic move has been probably a $6 range over the last, I don't know, say 4 weeks or so. So, you know, there's no, in my opinion at this point, a big pending move ready to happen in the cattle market. So we'll see how it plays out. I think it's just more about the week-to-week opinion on how business is doing out there. There's a couple things that are working for the cattle market would be recently, that is, cash, right? So it's been recovering a bit. Last week, the USDA box beef cutout was up about a buck half mid-session, ended up at 297 and change. That was up from about a little shy of 296 the previous week, so gaining there. 5-day, 5-area weighted average price was just shy of 184, coming up from 182.5 the previous week, so gained a buck and a half there, so that's a good thing. And then in terms of the cash, the southern cattle last week traded at about steady, and then the northern dress gained about $2, trading around 294 for the most part on the weighted average basis. So steady to better in cash in that particular aspect, but better in terms of that 5-day, 5-area weighted average in the box beef cutout. So as long as the cash looks healthy, you would think that the sector would look healthy, and the market's done a decent job over the last few weeks kind of recognizing that. In terms of the other impacts in the marketplace, well, looking at a bigger picture and zooming out, we've got some heavier weight cattle sitting out there, and that's boosting beef production. We'll have to eat through that. There is a tendency at this time of the year for more cattle to come to market, become available, so we'll see how the market's able to absorb that. Indicative of that, I guess, would be last week's slaughter coming in at 613,000 head versus the previous 620. So in terms of the throughput, we want to keep it strong and robust. We don't like to see those decent-sized downticks like that. We'll see if that's just a one-off or if it turns around. But we also are coming up in a time of year where the seasonality takes a bit of a bullish view because of heading into the barbecue season. So we'll see when the market wants to also start discounting that and maybe providing some support and pushing up a little bit. Again, I don't really expect any kind of drastic moves at the moment. Anything's possible. If we look at tendencies in the past as some kind of precursor for what could happen again in the future, round about this time of the year, say going into the first week or so of May, you usually see a little bit of an uptick in price. And then after that first week, going into the end of the month of May, you see a decent move to the downside, or at least some pressure coming in. So short move up, and then on the tail, 70% of the month of May, a little pressure to the downside. So we'll see if that comes into fruition again. And for feeder cattle, again, looking back at some of the historical tendencies, more of a sloppy look. It depends on which time frame you want to look at, but generally speaking, it'll be sideways for the first week and a half or so, and then it's pretty much a coin toss as to whether or not it's going to be weakness towards the back half of the month or strength on the back half of the month. So we'll see how that plays out, and I think it'll probably be more a factor of what's going on with the grain prices come mid-May, as well as what's happening with the cash cattle land, to kind of give us a better idea of which one of those two directions it could take. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay, contact information. How do we stay up to date?
Sure, contact information. You can pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or shoot an email to bmaurer, that's B-M-A-U-R-E-R, at manducatrading.com. And lastly, you can come visit our website and reach out via it also, which is www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading Chicago, on the Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Tired of paying for expensive and inefficient fertilizer? Then you need to source it. Source from Sound Agriculture optimizes the nutrients supplied by the microbes in your soil, providing 25 pounds of nitrogen and 25 pounds of phosphorus per acre, and unlocks tied up phosphorus and other micronutrients. Source is a cost-effective alternative to live biologicals that you can throw in the tank and spray in season. Unlock your crop's potential and increase your ROI with Source. Find your local dealer at sound.ag.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Bob Maurer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turn roads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Are you planning on fence or brushwork on your ranch this summer? West Texas Attachments has the skid steer attachments you need to make the job easier. Clear the way with their rock and brush grapple and drive posts quickly and accurately with the Montana Post Driver. They also have a tree and post puller that will handle trees up to 3 inches in diameter. West Texas Attachments also offers low-cost delivery to your area. Call Brad at 806-548-7167 or visit westtexasattachments.com to get the skid steer attachments to make your job easier.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer online at myfuturesadvisor.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA's Rural Energy for America program, REAP, supports clean energy projects across the country.
The REAP grant allows businesses to take advantage of, right now it's a 50% of the total cost on projects for renewable energy and energy efficiency projects.
Ashley Keltner is with Flathead Electric Cooperative in northwestern Montana, a recipient of REAP funding.
For our specific project, we're receiving a grant of nearly $500,000 to build a 200 kW community solar array with paired storage. Our interested members will be able to participate in that project and directly benefit from the program.
The Agriculture Department's Rural Development Mission Area recently announced the awarding of over $194 million in grants and loans for REAP projects in 35 states and the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico. I'm Rod Bain reporting in Washington, D.C.